Okay, you folks that just came in, we'd like to give you a bulletin, at least one to the family. I'd like for everybody, I'd like for at least every family and every single and unaccompanied GI, I'd like for every one of you to have a copy of this Sunday school lesson. And so if you do not have one, well, hold up your hand. We'll give you one, even if we have to take one away from somebody. You know, we do that in good Christian spirit. We just hit them on the head with a psalm book and take their Sunday school lesson away from them. Okay, are we ready? We're starting a new series of Sunday school lessons. And I believe today's lesson could be the turning point in your life. I think this, now many of you here might not need this lesson, but I think most of you probably do need it. Even if you already know it, you need it. I think most of you here know what we're going to say. Most of you know the things that are in this lesson. It's not new material, but most of you need to be reminded of it. And the lesson is how to study the Bible. How to study the Bible. Everybody here knows you should study the Bible, but most of us don't know how to study the Bible. So we're going to try to get into that today. But in the meantime, next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, this is what I'm going to preach. I'm going to tell you now what I'm going to preach next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So you can come back next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and have a head start on the crowd. Plus, some of you will be working in the union church, you won't hear it. And this is so important, I want you to hear it. In John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, this is just introduction to the Sunday school material, but it's next Sunday morning sermon, first point in next Sunday morning sermon. I'm worried about next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock because we'll have more material than we'll ever get covered. So therefore, I don't worry too much about giving it out now. It's really great material coming up in John chapter 8. I think John chapter 8 is the most important chapter in John that we've hit so far, even over John chapter 3. All right, John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. 31, 32. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I want y'all, if you got your Sunday school lesson, I'd like for you to write down here the steps to freedom, okay? Now, I want you to get it. Steps to freedom. Four steps to freedom. This is first point next Sunday morning sermon. So you'll be ahead of the game. Step number one, step two, step three, and step four. I want you to get it. Step number four is freedom. That's what everybody's looking for. Everybody's looking for it. Very few people have it. Very few people have freedom. We're the slaves of sin, and we're the slaves of this, and slaves of that. Very few of us enjoy freedom. And I want to show you this morning how to have freedom. I hope you get it. Number one step is to believe. That's what he said. Believe. Now, that doesn't mean believe anything and everything. It means to believe that Jesus Christ is God. Believe everything he said. In other words, you believe Jesus Christ. First step is to be a believer. Okay? Second step is continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. That's what he said. He said, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Step number three is know the truth. And step number four is freedom. Step number one, believe. I want to labor the point here just a little bit. This is almost Baptist note. Believe. I'm a believer. And go through life slaves of all kind of habits. Completely defeated. I want to say this to you now. Just because you say you believe doesn't prove a thing. Just because you say you're a believer doesn't make you a Christian. You can say anything. And multitudes of people are saying, I'm a believer. But that's all they say. And next Sunday morning we'll get into it in more detail. Don't want to take that much time for it this morning. But folks, just because you say you're a believer, that does not prove one thing. Second step, if you continue in the Word. Now, I'm not saying, listen to me, I believe there are people that are saved. By the way, you are saved by believing. I believe there are people that saved and just believers and never go beyond that. But they are a miserable mess. They are defeated. And they'll never enjoy Christian life and they'll never know freedom. That's the reason we have so many people that are saved. They're still the servants of all their old habits. All their old habits still to be. Many of you sitting out here today, you are saved, but you still live just exactly like you always lived, and you're still just as weak as you were always weak, and the same problems you had before you got saved, you're still having them today. The number one question is, are you saved? But it is possible that you are saved, but the second step is continue in the Word. Folks, if you don't continue in the Word, you'll never know success. You'll never know freedom. You'll never know happiness. You'll never enjoy being a Christian. You'll always, always, always be defeated. And then the third thing is you know the truth. Now, you're not going to know the truth unless you continue in the Word. The reason most people are so defeated is they don't know the truth. I guess y'all read Dear Abby or whoever she is in the paper. Talking about that it's intelligent to study all the different denominations and all the different religions, and then after you just study all the religions and all that kind of junk, then you can make your own choice, and that's intelligence. It may be intelligent, but it's dumb. People that work for the FBI in the counterfeit department, they don't study counterfeit money. They don't study all the different kinds of counterfeit money. They study real money. If you know real money, you can spot counterfeit money. We have people in our church right now that are members of this church and studying them with Jehovah's Witness. They want to make sure they get it all. Always defeated, always confused, always hopeless. Now, you can study with Jehovah's Witness all you want to. You can study with Mormons. You can study with anybody and everybody you want to. But you'll never know victory until you continue in the Word and know the truth. I said continue in the Word, not in the Book of Mormons and not in the Watchtower magazines. You continue in the Word of God. I guess I'm sick and tired of them, and you can read them out of Revelation. You can read here and read them there and show them the Bible. And they say, well, yeah, but they got this book that says this. I don't care what their books say. Get me mad. I hadn't even got started. And continue in the Word, okay? That means 7 days a week in the Word. Now, there's where most of you are completely defeated. We may be in this Sunday school lesson next Sunday. And this is where you're blowing it. This is where you've lost it. This is where you've been defeated. You're not in the Bible on Monday through Saturday and here on Sunday. You must do it. You say, how am I going to do it? You got to commit yourself to it. You got to promise yourself you're going to do it. You got to promise God you're going to do it. You got to promise this church you're going to do it. And you have to kick yourself in the rear end on Monday to make you do it. And then while you're doing it, you have to get telephone calls and all kind of confusion and all kind of mess. You will be, you'll be tested and tried. But you have to make yourself read the Bible until you get the habit. You just got to make yourself do it. You just got to get real mad at yourself. You just got to get up on Monday morning, look yourself in the mirror, and say, oh, buddy, you're reading the Bible today. You're not eating a food. You're not eating a bite. You're not reading a newspaper. You're not watching television. You're not listening to radio until you read the Bible. Got to do it. Otherwise, you'll always be defeated. That's why most UTIs are completely defeated. Why you never know victory. I'm serious. I know where I'm speaking. I know what I'm saying. This is where we lose it. And then you know the truth. You don't know the truth till you continue in the Word. And you'll never be able to overcome false doctrine, and you'll never be able to come till you know the truth, and then comes freedom. What a blessing it is to be free from Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Wow! What a blessing it is to be free from that crowd. What a blessing it is to be free from tongue talkers and all kind of baloney. What a blessing it is not to be confused every time somebody comes up and says, "Well, what do you think about this? Well, you need this. I don't bother me at this." I mean, it's just wonderful to be free from that crowd. It's wonderful to be free from false doctrine. It's wonderful to be free. It's wonderful to be free from smoking and cussing, drinking and boozing, adultery, dope. It's wonderful to be free. Amen. Glory to God. Wonderful to be free. See the people out here getting drunk every weekend, they think they're free. They say, "We're free to get drunk every weekend." Well, we're free to be sober every weekend. You can have your choice. Whole lot for the first 15 minutes, huh? Okay, so how you study the Bible? This is where it all, first thing you be, are you a believer? Are you really saved? Are you really trusting Christ? Second thing, continue in the Word. All right, let's look at the Sunday school lesson. Why? The necessity of it. First necessity is to grow strong. I tell you what we're going to do. I should read all these verses to you, because it doesn't matter what I say. Only thing that matters is what the Word of God says. A new Christian is a child of God and is sometimes referred to as a baby. A baby needs nourishment to grow. This nourishment is the pure milk of the Word. You need the milk of the Word to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible is milk and it is meat. Milk is the simple stuff. Meat is the more difficult stuff. And by the way, you don't start out on meat. You start out on milk. A lot of people say, "Man, I just don't understand that Bible. I just can't read it. I'm not going to understand it." Just read the part and get the part you can understand. Don't worry about the part you don't understand. If you come to a chapter and you don't understand a thing about it, just don't worry about that chapter. Go on to another. There'll be something in there to get you. There'll be enough in there you understand. Just don't worry about it. Just get what you can understand. As you grow, you'll understand more. Babies start out on milk, and then they go to baby food, and then they go to chopped up meat. They're a long time before they hit meat. Amen? Some of you get saved on the first Sunday here, and you say, "Well, I'm going to read that Revelation." Yep, I'm going to find out all about that stuff over there. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about Revelation. Don't worry about Hebrews. Don't worry about all that stuff. Don't try to understand Daniel. Don't worry about Ezekiel. Just don't worry about it. It's all true, but don't worry about it. You're not ready for it. And then Christians are to grow and mature. Bible is a spiritual food necessary for growth. So you need to read the Bible so you can grow. Oh, I don't want to talk about this stuff, but you know, if you see a baby that's 5 years old and still not growing, that's sad, isn't it? If you see one 21 years old and not growing, still a baby, that's sad. Well, it's sad when a person gets saved and is saved for years and never grows. Sad. Really sad. By the way, it doesn't take 21 years to grow up as a Christian. Your rate of growth just depends on you, how fast you want to grow. You can grow up in a hurry if you want to. All right, we need to read the Bible to defeat sin. Now, I've already named off a whole bunch of garbage this morning and probably already offended 3 or 4 or 5 people. And I'm sure some of you first-time visitors are here, and you say, "Oh, great, they hadn't been here 15 minutes. It's already named cussing, smoking, chewing, drinking. Oh. Well, I better go somewhere else." Oh, just relax. I'll probably hear it 3 or 4 times before you leave again, but that doesn't mean I'm mad at you. Y'all come back tonight if you want in on a barn burner. If you really want to get your feathers ruffled and your hair turned around backwards, come back tonight. Promise. Promise to do it to you. We're going to get everything that everybody's doing tonight, all right? I mean, this is just deliberate out to get everybody tonight. One of those kinds.
I need my GIs to be on the front row because y'all like that kind of stuff. I know. Y'all be here and cheer me on, okay? But I know. Just come back now. We're going to hit it all. Soap operas and all of it, you know. And, but I said another word, didn't I? I need to wash my mouth out with soap here before Sunday school's over. What I'm going to, you know, I've changed my whole philosophy on this whole thing. I've been wrong for years. I'll come back. What I'm going to tell you tonight. Tonight, I'm not going to preach against rock music. And I'm not going to preach against soap operas. What else? I'm not going to preach against all that stuff tonight. I'm going to preach for you. See, we've been going at it wrong. We've been against all this stuff, or I have. I've been preaching against it for years. But that's the wrong approach. I'm for you. You young people don't know it, but your lives are utterly being destroyed. Your marriages are being destroyed. Your children are being destroyed. And you like it that way, but yet you're frustrated, you're miserable, you're unhappy, and you don't know what it is. And it's very plain and simple. There are things wrong in your life, just basic things wrong in your life, and you don't even know what they are. And when we approach them, then you get all upset and you say, well, he's against everything. I'm not against everything. I'm for you, your home, your marriage, and your children. So we need to know the Bible to get rid of sin, to defeat sin. That's what it says on your Sunday school lesson. You can look them up for yourself. We need to know the Bible to prepare for service. I'd like to say this now. I really like for our people in the church to only be out of this auditorium for one service a week. I don't like you working on Wednesday night in Awana, working in junior church, and Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. I don't like you doing all of it, because you must know the word in order to serve. You have to be careful that you don't get so active. You can get so active in church that you don't have time for the Bible. You know that? You can really get so active in church you don't have time for the Bible. That's wrong. That's sinful. We get so many programs going on, and you think you got to go to all of them. I don't think you ought to go to all of them. I don't think you ought to participate in everything that happens around here. You ought to get your priorities straight. There are different areas for different people, but you got to have time for this book and for God. And don't get so active, you know. Just going to church is not serving God. Just coming to church is not loving God. You got to get with God in His book. This is just where we come to get pumped up. This is where we come to learn. This is where we come. I'm the cheerleader. This is a pep rally. Amen? Amen. Christian pep rally. I feel sorry for old Phil that's in North Carolina. He's always here on the front row. I'm almost glad he's in North Carolina because they lost. They sure did. They lost to Duke. And old Phil was here. We'd have to have 14 pep rallies to get that boy off the... You know, he wouldn't even be able to say, hey, man, today, you know. He'd be defeated today. We need a pep rally every once in a while. You have to have them for North Carolina. You have to have them for Kentucky. And everybody has to have pep rallies. Well, Christians need a pep rally. And that's especially what Wednesday night is. Brother, after going through Mondays and Tuesdays and all day Wednesday, you really need a little pep on Wednesday night. You got to have it. So you got to have this Word of God in order to serve. You got to have it to be blessed or to be happy. The word blessed is happy. You got to be in the Word of God if you're going to be happy, folks. The most miserable person in the world is a saved person. Not reading the Bible, not going to church, not serving God. A backslidden saved person, most miserable person in the world. You can't enjoy God and you can't enjoy the world. You're in a fix. Nothing to do but commit suicide. That's what you feel like, isn't it? And it's a hopeless mess. Nothing left for you. You're caught in the middle. Can't enjoy either one of them. You can go out in the world and you're convicted, and you come to church, you're convicted. It's about the only thing to do is stay in a rack. Let the world pass you by. A miserable mess. Got to be in the Word of God if you're going to be happy. You got to be in the Word of God if you're going to help others. These are the reasons why we should study the Bible. Now, on the back side of your sheet, how you study the Bible? How in the world do you study the Bible? Well, the average guy thinks, well, I'm just going to read the Bible through. I'm going to start Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read it through. That's the first mistake. That's your first mistake. I've made that mistake a bunch of times. As a kid, I remember doing that. Y'all ever remember getting convicted? You wanted to read the Word of God, and you're going to read it through. And as a kid, you go off in the bedroom somewhere. You didn't especially want everybody to know you're going to read the Bible through. But you decide you're going to start through, and you start. I did it, didn't y'all? I never did get through, though. I never did get through. Okay, look at your lesson. By the way, if you're taking notes, you put a little note on your paper there. How to study the Bible for yourself is a paperback book over here that you should have. We don't have very many of them, so don't. How to study the Bible for yourself. I think it's a valuable book. How to study the Bible for yourself. It's a good book. By the way, we just got one in this week. We ordered 10 copies, got 8. 10 ways to study your Bible. But I think maybe the how to study the Bible for yourself is best for a flat-out beginner. I mean, somebody just doesn't know beans from bagel about the Bible, and you want to start. How to study the Bible for yourself is the best book. But 10 ways to study the Bible for yourself is a good book too. I just started reading it through this week. But you get prepared. It said you must deal with sin in your life. That's the first thing here, preparing. You got to get your heart right with God before you start reading the Bible. Otherwise, man alive, when sin's in your life, this book, brother, it's a chore to read. Have you ever noticed that? When you can be reading the Bible every day, and then you get sinful and get backslidden, and all of a sudden, not much fun reading the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Get the sin out.
Amen.
And then sin must be put aside. Okay, and the second thing, you got to start reading. Okay, you got to read. You got to read the Bible. Now, I know some of you GIs are, you say, I don't like to read. Well, read anyhow. Well, you say, I can't read. Well, get it on tape and listen to it. Really, some people may not be able to read. If you can't read, get the Bible on tape and listen to it every day. I recommend you listen to it. I've listened to the whole thing on tape. It'll take a year or so to do it, but you can do it. It's a blessing to me. Aren't you read it. Now here, number three, it says a suggested technique. The best way to learn is by repetition. So read Scripture this way. Start with a small book like 1 John. Now that's good advice. Start with a little book. And we recommend 1 John. Read it straight through it one sitting. Now that's 5 pages in most Bibles. And if you read like I do, I read 3 minutes to the page, thereabouts, 15 minutes. You may read faster than that, and you may read slower. Okay. Spend some time in prayer. The book How to Study the Bible for Yourself says you ought to get you a notebook. One of these stenographer's pads. I don't know if you can buy them or not. Can't buy them on the Okinawa market, but I don't know if y'all can or not. But it's something like that is best. And just get your pad and put down March 11th, 1984, and 1 John, however much you're going to read, write it down, and bow your head and pray and say, God, I'm going to read 1 John, and I want you to speak to my heart and teach me something today. Help me to learn what I ought to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Reader. Now, and put it down. And then tomorrow, put down, 12? Whatever the day will be, 12, put her down. 1 John again, pray again, read her again. Now, are you keeping up with me? I want you to see the next thing. Where it says, leave. You start with a book like John, you read it straight through, you spend some time in prayer, and then you leave it. Read it once through a day. I know you, G.I. I know what you're thinking. Say, I can teach this and I preach this, and you think, well, he's right. I'm going to read the Word of God through. I'll just go to barracks this afternoon, and I'll read 50 chapters. And I'm going to read 50 chapters a day. Okay? Go home and read 50 chapters. You won't last 3 days. I know how you are. We had GIs here in this church, and we preach on soul winning, and one guy said, I'm going to win 200 to the Lord this year. First week, he didn't win anybody, Lord, so he just quit. Don't make all those big promises. Quit promising yourself you're going to do everything. Just get consistent. Just get your bite you can handle. 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day. Read only that portion, shut her up, and go out and do something else. Maybe you can read after that, read another Christian book. Maybe you can read some commentaries, read whatever you want to read. But just read your daily portion of Scripture until you get the habit, until you get going, until you get a hold of it, because you overdo it. You say, well, I'm going to say, have you ever made this promise? I'm going to get up every morning, an hour early, and pray. Brother, most of us doing good to get up when the alarm goes off. I mean, but we're always getting defeated like that. We always make these big promises, and then we always fail, and we always give up. Just get you a little bit and do it. Repeat the same procedure for a month. Read 1 John for a month. That's what we're saying. Read 1 John every day for a month. You know what I've been reading ever since August? John. I've been reading John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, and now I'm reading 1 Peter. Been reading it every day since August. You say, well, what are you doing with the rest of the Bible? Backsliding? Not really. I can't comprehend the whole thing all the time, but I've just decided I'm just slowing down. I'm just devouring John. I'm just loving John. I'm getting to know John, and I'm trying to get to know Peter. Now, I'm not recommending everybody do this. This is me. I'm the pastor. I'm the preacher. This is what God has me doing now. But for years, I used to read, I read 5 chapters a day. 5 chapters a day. 5 chapters a day. You write it down. You mark it. 5 chapters a day. 5 chapters a day. 5 chapters a day. Then I went to 3 chapters Old Testament, 2 chapters New Testament. I've done all kinds of everything. I don't care how you read it. Just read it. I don't want you reading what I read. I don't want you trying to be me. I don't want to be you. You don't be me. God knows you, and He knows what you need. Find you a little portion somewhere and read it. I personally think every GI, I think every young man here ought to read one chapter in Proverbs every day. It's so simple. Today's March 11th. You ought to read chapter 11 today. You ought to read Proverbs 11 today. Tomorrow, read Proverbs 12. 31 chapters in the book. It's perfect. That way you don't have to get up and say, what did I read yesterday? Just read today's chapter. That racket. Nope. Nobody caving in here, is it? Okay. Let's run along. After you read 1 John for a month, next month start with the Gospel of John. Break it down in 3 sections, 7 chapters each, and read these 7 chapters each day for 31 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't read 7 chapters of John every day because I don't read fast enough. Some of those chapters in John have 50, 60, 70 verses in it. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from reading 7 chapters a day. I'm just being honest. I'm not that good a reader. I found out a lot of times when I get too religious, I just read it, just to read it. You know, I don't understand when I get through it. Don't know a word I read. Don't even know a thing on it. Couldn't tell you one verse in it. Well, that doesn't do you much good. So I don't care how you read it, just read it. You'd be doing good if you spend 2 or 3 months in the Gospel of John. I recommend, look up here. I've told our people. Now, I don't recommend this for the brand new Christians. I think brand new Christians or brand new Bible readers ought to be in the 1 John or Gospel of John. But I recommend this for you people that have already feel like you know John and 1 John. I recommend you take this part of your Bible right here. Now, mine starts on page 214. It ends on page 291. 14 from 91. How many? 14 from 91. 77? Okay, now look up here. I recommend for you people that already know you saved, you already understand 1 John and the Gospel of John, I recommend you take these 77 pages and study it for a year. At least a year. You could spend 2 years, but at least a year in these 77 pages. That's Romans through 2 Thessalonians. 9 church letters, I think it is. You got these church letters written to churches. That's the heart of the Bible doctrine that we believe today. That's the heart of everything we teach. And at the heart of the issue for the day is right here in these chapters. And you could spend a year in 77 pages. You'd think that we ought to memorize 77 pages in a year if we get serious about it. Now, I'm not suggesting you memorize. I'd memorize. But I'll guarantee you this. We ought to know what's in these 77 pages. All right, we ought to be able to stand up and say, let me tell you what's in Philippians. And just rattle off. And then we ought to be able to do that with every book. I'm serious with you. You'd be better off spending a year in these 77 pages than you are wandering around through the Old Testament wilderness. Now, I'm not knocking Old Testament. I know the importance of Old Testament. But I'm telling you, first off, you ought to know the New Testament, and we ought to really know these 77 pages right here. And then after that, it says you study. You read before you study, you know. You got to get the reading habit before you worry about studying. And then you can study topically. That means just take a topic and study the thing. Just chase it all over the Bible. Just get you a topic. And then bibliographically or whatever. Woo, that's a word and a half for me. And that's a Bible character, like we've been doing Peter. Just take Peter and go after Peter. Or Joseph. Joseph, fantastic Bible study. That's Old Testament, of course. He's a good man to study. Moses and different people. Who anybody want? Read good books. Now, watch that where it says read good books. Y'all, you found that down at the bottom, number 3, read good books. Don't spend a lot of money buying popular Christian books. That's bad for me to say that because we'll have books over here for sale. I believe you ought to be either reading the Bible or Christian books. It's the dumbest thing you can do to read Zane Grey or whoever they are. I know Zane Grey went out with the Dark Ages, but I found one of our GIs reading Zane Grey one day. You all know who Zane Grey is, don't you? The guy who writes these old Western novels. Old cowboy novels. We had a guy in our church, and his wife came to me. I mean, she came to me humpteen dozen times. You don't know how many humpteen is, but that's a bunch. And she came to me all the time here for 4 years. She said, he won't read the Bible home, he won't read the Bible home, he won't read the Bible home, he won't read the Bible home. Oh, what can I do? I can't get him to read the Bible. Never did get him to read the Bible. I went to the house. You know how military housing is. You always go through the back door. They ought to turn those houses around when they built them. You park your car, you go right through the laundry room, and you go through the hot water heater, wade through all the dirty clothes, and over the and through the kitchen in the living room. Amen. I know you women love that, and that's the way it is at our house. You always go by the washer, dryer, through the bathroom, in the kitchen, in the living room. That's the way we always do it. Anyway. I went through there one day, and I had to wade through a whole pile of Western novels. No wonder you ain't reading the Bible. Now, I'm not against you getting an education. I'm not against you reading other things for pleasure. But basically, I'll be reading this book. Y'all be reading Christian literature. But don't waste all your money buying books and commentaries. Now, look at your paper. It says you need a good concordance. I think every home and every single GI ought to have a strong concordance. Most important book you'll buy outside the Bible is Strong's Concordance. That's so you can find any word in the Bible you want to know. It even has a dictionary in the back of it to tell you what it means. I really am sold on Strong's Concordance. Outside my Bible, I probably use Strong's Concordance more than any other book. Strong's Concordance. And then a topical index. Knaves. That's if you want to study, but all he does is take every topic and just put all the verses and everything in the Bible under a topic. And I have that, but I don't use it that much. Commentaries. There's a good one to start with. It's Wycliffe Bible Commentary. The reason that one is considered good is because it has a bunch of authors in one book. It's not good to get one man's opinion on the whole Bible. In other words, if you could get Gibson's commentary, you could understand it, but it might not be the best in the world. I don't have a commentary. I'll never write a commentary. But it's not good to buy just only one man's opinion. If you get one commentary, it has several different authors in it. I'm not much on commentaries. I've really gotten a lot of good out of this book over here. If you're a real student, hey, by the way, if you don't know anything about the Bible and you want to get one book off the shelf, you get the How to Study the Bible Yourself. And the second book I tell everybody to get is What the Bible's All About. That's written in everyday language. It's real simple. It's not a commentary. And then a bigger book for you Bible students, and you really want to get into it, the book that I've learned a lot out of is Explore the Book by J. Sidlow Baxter. Don't agree with everything in it, but it's a good book. But don't spend your money on a lot of books. The main thing is to get into this book, get the habit. Get the habit. And then it says listen to tapes. Hey, you ought to listen to sermon tapes all the time. I think everybody here ought to have a tape player in your car. If you don't have a tape player in your car, just get you a portable and put it in your car and carry it everywhere you go. And listen to sermons every day. Hey, in our church, we have a cassette tape library. By the way, you can buy everything we've ever taught and preached here. It's all for sale. You can get everything that's ever been preached here at Maranatha in the last 4, 5, 6 years. We all have it on tape. And besides that, we have free tapes you can just check out of Dr. Jack Hiles and some different preachers, and you can take them and listen to them, bring them back. We have a tape library for ladies' tapes. with all kind of Christian women speaking on ladies' subjects and all kind of stuff like that. You ladies, you can get the preaching tapes, you can get the women speaking, whatever you want to do, you can listen to it on all kinds of subjects, but you ought to listen to a tape or two every day. If you live at Mocky Minato and work at Torrey Station, you need an album to listen to, amen? Really, you can get one going and one coming back. Really, from about anywhere on the island you can do that. You can listen one sermon a day unless you live on Kadena and work on Kadena, and then you might take you 3 or 4 days to get it in. But I'm telling you, we ought to be listening to tapes. We ought to be listening to tapes in our home. You women, while you're washing dishes, you can be getting the Word of God fed right into you. You ought to be doing that. You ought to be doing it. It'll keep you, it'll help you to grow. Listen to tapes. Share what you learn. That's good if you tell everybody else about it. Find a pattern to follow. Find you a mature Christian. Hey, somebody sticks out. All of us are that way. Oh, I read this week, Living Proof. How many of you ever read Living Proof, Lieutenant Cleve McClary? Y'all ever read that one? Man, I read it this week. Ooh, I cried and cried and cried. He was in Vietnam and got his eye blown out and his arm blown off and all that kind of stuff, and from South Carolina. And South Carolina's putting out a lot of folks these days, ain't it? Old Cleve McClary. I'm going to write him. I'm going to see if he'll come out here. I'm going to order 25 of those books and have them in our book room. I'm going to order them this week, have them out here this summer. And, it takes a while from the wash up on the beach, and then it takes us longer, and that's fine where to wash up. And we'll have them out here sometime after you left the island. We'll get them in. And then, bless me. It blessed me. Encouraged me. Motivated me. He's the same age I am. Born in November 1941, I think that's what that book said. Oh, it inspired me something fierce. It helped me to read that book. And you need to find somebody that you can look up to. I know some of you saying, well, I'm just spiritual. I just look to the Lord. I know. I wish I was that spiritual, but I need somebody I can see. Don't you? Find somebody you can look up to. Find how they do it, and you follow after them. That's what Paul said. You all just be followers of me. And that's what Paul said. So get at it. And then teaching, it says down there, get in good Bible teaching. Folks, you can do all this you want to, but there's no substitute for being in church. You've got to be in a Bible teaching church. You need the church at Sunday school. You need the church at preaching hour. You need the church on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time. You need all the church fellowship you can get. You GIs, you need to be in the Bible, but then you need to be in the GI fellowship. You need to be, and you said, well, you said a while ago, couldn't do everything. I know you can't do everything, but you got to get the important stuff. Hey, by the way, church is number one. Some people go to Bible studies and won't go to church. Some people go to fellowship and won't go to church. Go to church. You say, well, they're not too good at preaching. Well, go to another church. Get one where they're teaching the Bible. Okay? This is lesson number one. Next week, we're talking about praying. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our Sunday school hour. Encourage your people to get in the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for first-time visitors here today. Some of them probably not saved. They need to be saved. They need to believe, first off. They need to trust Jesus Christ for salvation. They need to repent of their sins and put faith in Jesus Christ. Then they need to go and continue in the Word, know the truth, and experience freedom. Oh, God, I'm concerned today for the members of Maranatha Baptist Church that are believers, but they're not free. They're not free. They're not free of themselves. They're not free of their fears. They're not free of sinful habits. They're not free at all. And, oh, God, I pray you to impress upon them they'll never be free till they continue in the Word and know the truth. Encourage us and motivate us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.